The man who has really won the love of one good woman in this world, I do not care if he dies in the ditch a beggar. His life has been a success. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful 2 weeks.
It has been two weeks, hasn't it?
Since we've had an actual show.
Yeah, we were on vacation, so we did an interview, a yakking session.
Yakking session. Yeah, that was with Gleb Sapersky of the Truth Pro-Truth Pledge.
I was like, come on, there you go.
Pro-Truth Pledge.
Correct.
Anyways, that was good fun. I actually enjoyed it. You should go back and listen to it if you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be episode 104.
Oh, well.
Since we're episode 105.
Oh, good to know.
And I have one hell of a list of Twitterers.
Excellent.
So we'll just start from the beginning, and when I get to the end.
Stop. That's how it goes. Mm. Get your quote right.
All right, we got the Pathos Project, mm-hmm. Peachy Fiend, Blog Pod Org sponsor. Mm. That's a
tongue twister.
Almost. Crystal Claire. Yeah.
Mm.
Digital Era, Jiu-Jitsu Girls, Muslim Advocates, Ex-Christian, The Human Experience, Primed Podcast, Christina Schufalili.
Oh, he apologizes so much right there.
Schufalil, yeah. And Edward Silla.
So many apologies are out there right now.
I do severely apologize for those last two. Because, wow. Speaking of wow.
Uh-huh.
We got an iTunes review.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, it comes from Thor Go Lucky. 5 stars, pony friendly, he says.
Oh, okay.
Exposing religious meddling, transgressions, and outright depravity. Frustrating and angering at times, but needs to be heard. Thanks, Robert and Amy.
Cool beans.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yes, very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
We always like when we get those.
And we got something we haven't had in a very long time.
Oh, okay.
We got some voicemails.
Sweet.
So, they're both from our friendly Too Deep Too Fast.
You sure?
TDTF pod, Jonathan Ariola. Okay. And he's got some info from episode 103 that he wants to update.
So okay.
Let's play those.
Go.
Hey, you two beautiful people. It's Jonathan Ariola. How you doing? So I was just listening to episode about the renewable energy, and I just kind of wanted to chip in my uneducated 2 cents. One of the lovely problems about renewable energy is that there is some variability when it comes to your energy production. So the big problem that can be solved is by dispersing it, having a very widespread number of photovoltaics and your wind turbines all over the goddamn country. And that way, when they're all hooked in, it kind of evens out more or less. The problem, though, is that because of the grid is kind of isolated, it has different regions that are all hooked up to a central grid, the whole country isn't plugged into the other side of the country. So the energy that's produced on the East Coast doesn't go to the West Coast. The stuff on the West Coast doesn't go to the East Coast. So there really isn't that kind of infrastructure designed to handle that kind of thing. The other aspect of it is baseload. Essentially, it has to have a certain amount of gigawatts are available at any point in time. So if 1,000 households turn on a fan, then we're good. And if 1,000 turn it off, the power plant doesn't blow up, or the, you know, base stations or whatever, base stations, not space stations. it's one of the problems, essentially. The big thing that could fix that is battery technology or just energy storage, where they can pump a bunch of gas into like an underground well or molten salt or some fancy new battery that we haven't figured out yet. Something along those lines. If that happens, then renewables basically replace everything. But until then, it is still kind of spotty, and there are some problems that need to be addressed on the tech side before we can do that. Hence the idea of pushing for a smart grid. If you did have a smart grid, then you might be able to shuffle some of those electrons to the different grid systems that are there. hook them all together, and we'll see. Until then, well, there's still going to be some of that coal and natural gas and nuclear power that goes around, especially around my hometown. So anyway, love the show as always, and have a good day. Bye.
Well, that was very informative.
Yes, that was, actually. Yeah. I like that a lot.
And, you know, some of that I didn't do know.
Yeah, kind of rang some bells.
Yeah. So he's got another one that he wants to enlighten us with.
Okie dokie.
Hey, you wonderful people again. I was just listening to this next part of your segment about executions. Well, being in Utah, we have the firing squad. Yay! You know, the funny thing about that is that there's that little part of me, that humanist bit, that doesn't like the idea of killing people. It's a funny thing, that. But also on the kind of neuroscience side, that I'm not a big one on the whole idea of free will. I don't think it really is. If it does exist, if it does exist, but it's such a small part of the human being that it's almost negligible, or at least it's so minuscule that most of the other stuff explains most human behavior. We just haven't figured out how to do that yet. And if that were the case, that means things like murder, rape, blowing up a building, the whole nine, and even drug use, because some people get put in life in prison for a lot of drug things. Anyway, but stuff like that, it's really not their fault, because if there's no free will, then there's no real culpability. So why would you even try to kill them in the first place? The only thing I can think of is, well, this person is not fixable according to what standards we currently have. And we're too worried that they're going to get out and then, you know, do whatever it is that got them in that place in the first thing again. So we have to remove them from society for everyone's safety's sake. And if that's the case, then, you know, the whole life in prison thing does make a lot of sense. But it just is really expensive. Like, way expensive. And so if you're thinking about trying to save money, then whatever options are super cheap to try to execute someone. But then there's all these things about, you know, appeals and appeals and appeals and appeals, and it ties up in court forever. Because eventually they come up with some new forensic tech. Oh, guess what? It wasn't you. Sorry, bud. Good thing that this process is so slow and arduous that we managed to develop science a little bit better so you didn't get off. Funny that. Also, on the religious side, you know, I always think it's interesting that if you do have free will, and then the only person who's allowed to judge a person is God, then why does the whole law aspect even exist? It never quite clicked with me when it comes to the religious institutions out there, as I'm sure with most of the other things, because they really don't follow the letter of their book, nor do they follow the logical conclusions of their religious organization in the first place. So I guess there's that. Anyhow, love you guys. Bye. And,
I like the ending.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan is amazing. If you haven't caught his show, you absolutely should. You'll get lots and lots more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the, I think it's one of the better podcasts out there for as far as a single person podcast. Because he's so entertaining on his own.
Yeah, lots of personality.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, I'll put links to his show in the show notes. Anyway, I guess we should get on with the show.
Okie dokie doke.
All right, so I do have an update.
Okay, we always like those.
Yeah, remember a couple weeks ago we talked about San Antonio mayor who called non-believers broken people and a lack of God belief caused poverty? Remember?
Probably. I don't.
Well, that would be episode 97 if you want to check out the story.
Yeah, see, I can't even remember yesterday. I'm working on it.
All right. Well, that was Ivy Taylor, and she lost the election by more than 10%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she couldn't just leave God out of it, even when she lost.
Oh, uh-huh.
During her concession speech, she said, "A majority of the votes have come in. It doesn't look like it's going the way that we anticipated this evening. But you know what? I'm so grateful to God. I'm at peace. I'm so thankful to God for each and every person in this room, for your support, for your prayers, for being here."
So it's another chance to, you know, proselytize.
Yeah, it sure seems like it.
Kind of get one more out there, you know?
Yeah. And it's typical of her sort. You know, she's going to call atheists the root cause of poverty.
Well,
essentially.
Well, I was going to say we're the root cause for everything, according to people like her.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally.
But good news is the people of San Antonio do not have to deal with her anymore.
Well, she didn't
make it. And that's a huge margin to lose by.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 10%.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah.
So, good for her opponent, which I didn't get his name.
Kind of probably should have done that.
Probably should have, but all right. So well.
But that's good that that person isn't going to be in a power position. I mean, you got to separate your personal from your professional. It's not hard.
Yeah.
And especially when your professional is in a government position. I mean.
Yeah.
They just don't go together.
No, not really.
I mean, and the same can be said for any job that you hold, period. You don't bring your personal life into your job, no matter what your job is.
Exactly.
You feel better yawning now?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was trying to yawn off. Well, you had to tell everybody I was yawning.
Oh, I could hear it really well in my headphones, so yeah, we're good. Okay,
fine.
Anyways.
Oh, we got something less boring.
I didn't think it was boring, but fine.
Well, obviously I did.
I yawn constantly because I'm allergic to the show.
Obviously.
Brew pubs have always been a place to sit back, have a few drinks with friends, and talk about everything under the sun. Skeptics Brew Pub is just such a place. Each week, Brother Brewer invites people to come in and talk about politics, religion, skeptical inquiry, beer, geekdom, and whatever else happens to come up that night. You can join the conversation by chat each Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Spreaker, or catch the show later on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, or any other podcatchers out there. That's Skeptics Brew Pub, where nothing is sacred, and no conversation starts without a two-drink minimum.
All right, Ark Park fails because of atheism.
See? Did I call it?
Yes, I know.
We are to blame for everything.
After his monument to ignorance failed to provide the promised revenue to Grant County, creatist and amateur fake boat builder Ken Ham is doing what any responsible Christian would do.
Blame us.
Yeah, he's blaming it all on atheists and their powerful secular media corporations.
Powerful secular media corporations. I love it.
Yeah. Quote.
Okay.
Recently,
A
number of articles in a mainstream media on blogs and well-known secularist group websites have attempted to spread propaganda to brainwash the public into thinking our Ark Encounter attraction is a dismal failure.
Seriously.
Yeah. Sadly, they are influencing business investors and others in such a negative way that they may prevent Grant County, Kentucky from achieving the economic recovery that its officials and residents have been seeking.
Really? It did not take any atheistic group of any kind to help that along for failure.
Yeah.
I mean, that was doomed to fail from the beginning.
Well,
I mean, no matter what, it was doomed to fail. Yeah.
Well, in the post on his website, he singles out one article from the Herald Leader, which is a local paper, which got a few items wrong and decided that all secular media were spreading lies about the park.
Oh, okay.
Which is just not true. While there were several errors in the article, it seems more like shoddy journalism than an attack on the park, which it was. It was just bad writing. I read it, and I was like, yeah, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is bad enough without having to make up things to be mad about.
Right, I mean, exactly. Ridiculous.
But this is just more typical Ken Ham.
Oh, yeah.
Talking
head.
Yeah, refusing to accept responsibility for failing to provide the economic boost he promised. And it's not like the atheist told him before he even built it that it would fail.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You didn't need the atheist to push it farther under the bus. It was going to do it all on its own just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Regardless, to me, I don't see that as a repetitive business type of park.
Right.
We're not talking Disney World here.
We're not even talking Six Flags.
I mean, what their material is that they base that off, it's not like you have new stuff coming around to freshen up the park with.
I know. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. This was a dumb idea to start with.
I remember seeing something about they were going to have some sort of gladiatorial thing going on. I don't know. Like, he's got pictures of Noah fighting a dinosaur or something.
Right, which I kind of already figured you were going to go there. But that's what I mean. I mean, there's nothing you can really do to freshen it up. You know, you visit it once, okay, done. So there's no repeat business. It's
You're not going to get that 2 or 3 million visitors a year that he was...
That was funny.
I mean, parking lot's empty most of the week.
The whole thing was a horrendous idea from the beginning. And even without, you know, one side versus the other on, you know, where your religious stands are has nothing to do with it. The whole business aspect of it is doomed to fail. The whole idea of how it was being done was a doomed business.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to drive to Northern Kentucky?
Seriously.
Seriously, regardless of driving Northern Kentucky.
No, not particularly, but it doesn't matter. I mean, even regardless of where it's at, it just the type of place that it is. There's nothing you can do with it. It just gets stale. In order for your business to succeed, you need to be fresh. You need to be changing it up. You need to keep it going. Whereas this, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. It's dead.
Yeah, it was dead out of the water.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
You know, that's very groovy.
It is groovy.
It's very groovy.
Very, very groovy. Anyways.
Yes, dear.
Speaking of groovy.
Seriously? You're going to go Ted Nugent groovy?
Groovy.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, I guess I was going to do a cool Ted, lead in.
No,
but no.
No, 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 no. You cannot say Ted Nugent and groovy.
Motor City Madman, no longer angry.
Right over my head.
Singer Ted Nugent claims to have seen the light and will stop using toxic rhetoric to attack Democrats.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
In a Thursday night interview with 77WABC Radio, Nugent swore that he has reevaluated his language and would refrain from saying, quote, anything that can be interpreted as condoning or referencing violence.
So this is coming from the whole, all the Republicans start, they're seeming to start doing this kind of thing, you know, calling for all this civil behavior and unity, because to me, it sounds like they're starting to get afraid that the people who aren't usually the abrasive ones are becoming a little more abrasive than they foresaw, I suppose.
I got a little more quotes for him.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
At the tender age of 69, my wife has convinced me that I can't use those harsh terms. I cannot and will not, and I encourage even my friends and enemies on the left, in the Democrat and liberal world, that we have got to be civil to each other.
Please. And where were they when it was the other way around?
Yeah, when he told Obama to suck his machine guns.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And literally, too.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Uh-huh.
This comes only a day after a gunman opened fire on Republicans while they were practicing the annual House softball game.
Yeah, and since then, that's all you're hearing from them is, you know, let's all be civil and get along. Because, you know, when someone else does it to them, they're terrified, and now we want to be civil. But when it was the other way around, they were as nasty as could be and didn't apologize for anything.
Exactly. So some of the things he's been known to say, he referred to former president as a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah.
A subhuman mongrel. And then he went on to encourage Clinton to ride one of these into sunset, you worthless bitch, while holding one of his machine guns.
Wow. That's class.
Uh-huh.
That's nice. But, you know, now we need to be civil because somebody else might want him to ride their machine gun. I mean, come on. Talk about two-faced.
Talk about cowardly.
Well, absolutely.
This is coming from a guy who sources say he defecated on himself in order to get out of Vietnam.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I did a lot of research into that to try and make sure
that was
it was true. Uh-huh. And that it's unproven.
Okay.
But there's enough circumstantial evidence, plus there's an interview right after, well, within 10 years, that he says he did these things.
And I assume it was never denied nor confirmed.
Now he's saying that he hasn't done these things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Somehow I think he still did these things. He stopped showering 30 days ahead because someone did some research into his records. And while he did get a deferment for college, there is also another deferment or he got rated 4F, which is unable, period, right. Never returned.
Oh, uh-huh.
The last time.
Oh.
But it doesn't say why.
Oh.
And he's never told anyone why he got 4F.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, he's kind of cowardly. Apparently. Yeah.
Like big noise, barking, and then when it comes back to him, run and hide.
Pretty much. That's typical Ted Nugent.
Yeah. Jeez, nice guy.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as storytime counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
I really liked that intro.
Yeah, we're doing science instead of Potter this week. Because yes. our science is kind of pottery.
Pottery.
Yeah, it's a pseudoscience story that I wanted to do. That it's really bugged me for a long time, and I really wanted to get into it at some point in time.
Oh, okay.
That's breatharianism.
Okay.
So these are people who believe you can live off of
air
and sunshine. And I'm just going to read from New York Post because it's just easier that way.
Good, because I don't see it on my
notes. A breatharian mom and dad have barely eaten for 9 years as they live off, quote, the universe's energy.
So these are parents who have done this for 9 years?
Yes. Husband and wife, Kea Ricardo and Camilla Costello, believe that food and water aren't necessary and humans can be sustained solely by the energy of the universe.
Sure.
Okay. They have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter and have survived on little else besides a piece of fruit and vegetable broth for just 3 times a week since 2008.
Oh, that is such BS.
Yeah. She even practiced breatharian pregnancy, not eating anything during the entire 9 months with her first child.
All right. I have major issues with that, but continue.
The couple of 9 years claim that their food-free lifestyle has improved their health and emotional well-being, as well as letting them spend money on traveling rather than groceries.
Well, first of all, they don't even know an amateur's version of science at all. Not to mention they're lying out their ass.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. I got a little more on them. Where was it? For 3 years, Akai and I didn't eat anything at all. Now we only eat occasionally, like in a social situation, or simply want the taste of fruit. With my first child, I practiced a breatharian pregnancy. Hunger was a foreign sensation to me.
Bull.
I lived fully on light and ate nothing.
Bull. Double. So incredibly bull.
Yep. Now, it's just ridiculous that anybody thinks that they can live like this.
And that people actually believe what the hell they're saying.
That's the worst part. I'm going to read a little more down the line here.
Mm-hmm.
Clicking.
Yeah, I hear a click, click,
click. Click, click. Well, whatever.
Yeah, I don't even get to click on mine.
Blah, blah, blah. It's on there somewhere.
You sent me the link, but there ain't nothing I can do with it.
Let's see.
That was kind of southernish, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Anyway, they are to the point now where they don't understand why people get hungry, because they don't feel hunger.
They're lying out their butt.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, I'm telling you, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, first of all, the whole pregnancy thing. Yeah, that really kind of bugs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Practice that during her pregnancy, my ass.
I don't think so.
Okay, first of all, fetus cannot develop, let alone grow, if you don't give it nutrients. Let alone the fact that your body is basically using up its resources in order to create this life in the first place, you even need more nutrients than normal. And
yeah,
it's a good thing she didn't have twins and say she did it too, because as a mother who had twins, oh my God, that's a whole nother experience totally separate from a single baby.
Yes.
But the fact that she actually says that and, like, I'm assuming doesn't flinch when she says it.
Neither does the husband. That's the weird part. They've got to be lying to each other. Because there's no way they can survive off a piece of fruit and some broth.
Well, that's what I was saying. Either they're lying together, and when they're out in public, this is the persona they have, or they're lying to each other, and they secretly have ding-dongs hiding in the closet.
Well, they are ding-dongs in the closet. But then we've got to deal with the kids, too.
That really is bad. So
there's going to come a point where those kids are going to say, I'm hungry.
Well, if they go to school and they mention anything about being hungry, and it continues to be extreme, or it continues to become a problem, schools will have to be required to notify CPS, and then CPS will have to get involved in that. Because what they're doing, if that's
actually what they're doing is on the terms of neglect, which is illegal. I don't care what your stupid belief system is.
It goes, the article does go on to say that they will not deny their children food.
Well, that's good to hear, at least. Yeah,
they let them eat what they want.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, which comes back to, I'm not so sure they only do sunlight and air kind
of
crap.
Because they know you can't survive off of sunlight and air.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They have to know that. Because there's a ton of castaways that would love to live off of sunlight and air.
Well, just, we know it's not possible.
It never has been
for
possible.
For any mammal.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
Plants can't even live off just sunlight.
No,
there.
That's a very
they
good point.
They need nutrients too.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But I guess I can't understand the benefits for, even if it's not, you know, they say it, but that's not exactly what they do. What is the benefit you get from just saying it and having, you know, being able to claim that lifestyle, you know?
I honestly don't know. Why would anybody want to be a breatharian?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't make sense to me.
What is the... You got to get something out of it to want to claim that.
You get covered in New York Post.
Publicity. Fame.
Yeah.
Attention. I think attention.
It doesn't make any sense, though.
Yeah, but we've known people who, back in our younger years, that need the attention. It's like they kind of can't function
true.
Without the attention.
Yeah.
Those are the type of people who need to up you. No matter what you say, they got to have it worse or, you know, something like that.
Oh,
if they need the attention grabbing. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
But I, regardless of, you know, why or what their stance is, they most certainly are not just living off of sunlight and air and broth and a fruit every, what, you say, couple of weeks?
Fruit and broth. Couple times a week.
Couple times a week.
Yeah.
Not to mention how really sickly thin they would look. I mean, the human body has to have those kind of nutrients. I mean, look at people who have anorexia. I mean, your heart eventually can't handle not getting the nutrients it needs. So there's no way that they're telling the truth.
No. Even the people, the people who like invented breatharianism, they were proven to be frauds.
I was going to say, why would you have even come up with this?
Yeah, I don't know. Why would you invent it? Well, obviously it was some...
to be pure
guru,
kind
right,
of thing.
Somewhere, who wanted to create a new cult.
When was this came out?
That's what I was looking
at. I could be totally wrong, but I'm getting like a 60s vibe.
I have a feeling it is. Most recent stuff seems to come out in the 90s. I have a feeling that it was out before that.
Oh, yeah.
There was this person. Said he lived for 70 years without eating or drinking.
My ass. Oops.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was tested and monitored in a hospital room for 15 days.
Sure.
And they claimed he was truly astonishing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then an independent team surveyed the room. Apparently, the person running the
test. Wait a minute. Did you just speak in English?
No. An independent team asked to go into the room after he was done.
Thank you. Much better.
And they found that the guy running the test is a believer in breatharianism, and sneaking food in.
You just cannot talk.
Yes.
Yeah. See, makes a lot more sense.
Right, and that according to what I'm seeing here, that's just the way that it goes. Every time they test it, comes out nice. Turns out they're sneaking food in somewhere
because the human body can't survive without food.
I mean, I think David Blaine tried something similar to this once, and he nearly died.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah,
that's
when
right.
He stuck himself in water forever, kind of same thing.
Seriously.
Well, he was in water for like a week and a half.
Yeah, but that's not the same as just not eating and just doing sunlight and air.
Well, but he was underwater and he couldn't eat.
No, I get that for the food part of it, but being underwater is a whole different scenario.
Right, but he nearly
died, your skin falls off.
He nearly died from dehydration and malnutrition, not from being underwater.
Really? Not from the underwater?
Because
I know
right.
If you're underwater too long, your skin starts to just kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it, kind of like peels away kind of thing.
Yeah,
just kind of like,
ugh. Yeah.
But yeah, so either way, we all know that, you know, they claim it for whatever reason they want to claim it for. But if they're still breathing after a certain amount of time and kicking around, then obviously they're getting food in one way or another.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. More fun. Oh, I believe this kind of science-ness, you know?
Well, it's just stupid. Why would you ever believe something like that? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's all the yakking I got for you this week.
Oh, I know. It's all I got. I'm tired.
And we'll be back next week.
Next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!